In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's readings today have emphasized especially the law given by Moses in the first reading and the importance that the law, meaning the Ten Commandments, were to the Jews in his day, that it was really a sign of their fidelity to God and was really the, you might say, their citizenship in the Promised Land. To the degree that they kept the law, they could stay there in the Promised Land, in that land which the God had given them. If they weren't faithful to that law, to the Ten Commandments, especially that, then they would be kicked out. And we can see on several occasions where they were taken into the Babylonian exile and different times when they had become so unfaithful that they lost the right to be there in this land that God had promised them. It was part of the contract, the covenant, that God established through Moses. And if they kept the law, then they could remain in the Promised Land and they would be blessed. If they broke it and were not faithful, they would then suffer the consequences. And really, the law, when I say law, the Ten Commandments is the essence of the Old Covenant. There were other things that God later on revealed, the liturgical worship, which would pass away because the new covenant, the liturgical worship of the new covenant, would replace it. There would be no longer any reason to celebrate the Passover meal because you would have the fulfillment of the Passover meal in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Why have a symbol when you have the reality? And of course, we know that also there were some things that the Pharisees and man-made laws, which our Lord criticized them for, you know, they went and made their own little man-made laws more important than the law given by God. That's why our Lord was so angry with the Pharisees for making their human laws more important than God's law of the commandments, which of course was the law of charity. The commandments in their essence was the fulfillment of love of God and love of neighbor. And the Pharisees would, you might say, override those by their own little human laws that they made, you know, declaring something korban so they didn't have to show charity to their parents, to show honor to their father and mother, and other things like that. And our Lord was not at all happy with that and was especially critical of them for that. But the law, the Ten Commandments, as we know, is the natural law written on our hearts, so it's also very important just on a natural plane. God wants us to know what is the natural law that he has established in the universe for right order and good conduct, and what will help restore or maintain, you might say, harmony between God and man, and harmony among men and men, and with the society around them. So it's very important, the law, the Ten Commandments. Even our Lord emphasizes the importance of it. Those who teach others to not observe the law, even the smallest letter, you know, even he says jot or tittle in the old translation, even the smallest part of a letter, if they don't teach that, they are going to be, and don't observe it, and don't teach others to observe it, they're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does obey and teach it will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's important because even today we see where, like the Pharisees of old, man is making their own laws, man-made laws, more important than the law of God. For example, we somehow have this idea that we can somehow take thou shalt not kill and we can make a law that permits it now, whether it be abortion, euthanasia, you know, the harvesting of vital organs from people. Somehow we think, oh, we made it a law, so therefore it's now moral, and it's not. Or the law, you know, trying to make same-sex marriage somehow acceptable. We've gotten the same kind of God complex that the Pharisees have, and thinking that we can override the law of God with the man-made precepts, and that somehow with just a sweep of our pen that we can change the moral covenant. And our Lord is saying, you're a fool if you believe that. You're wise if you observe the law given by God. You're a fool if you think that you can write something different or better, or somehow override it with your own man-made precepts. Those man-made precepts will not have any authority and will not have any real means to bring about peace and concord if they're not in accord with the law of God. That's very clear. I remember even when I was growing up, the police chief of our little community said that everybody would observe the Ten Commandments, there would be no need for a lot of the laws written in the books, because really, if it's any good law, it's really just a reflection or an addition to the Ten Commandments given by God. And that if people were to observe those, society would run well, and there would be peace, and there would be a well-ordered society. If we don't observe them, just the Ten Commandments, we have chaos. And we can see that very clearly happening in our world today, where we have everything being turned upside down. So today, as we, in this season of Lent, we want to ask our Lord to help us to see the wisdom that Moses told the people. If you observe these commandments, you will be considered wise by everybody around you, not only wise with your relationship with God, but those around you will say, wow, how is it that you have such wisdom? And we're reminded in the Old Testament that the beginning of wisdom, obedience is the beginning of wisdom. Obedience first and foremost to the law and commandments of God. To that degree that we observe them, we will be wise, and we will be considered very prudent, even amongst those around us who maybe may mock us at first for observing them, but later on, when they see the disaster that may come to them because they're not observing them, they'll say, wow, that's a wise person who fulfilled and lived that way, as Christ mandated. Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He shows us, you know, in his own person, the completion of that right-ordered life, because, of course, our Lord, being the Son of God, is perfect, and he fulfilled all the moral precepts to the utmost. And so he is the fulfillment of the law. He shows us love of God and love of neighbor to its highest degree. And of course, he's the fulfillment of the prophets, because he's not just one who proclaimed the word of God like the prophets, but he is the word of God made flesh. And he is all that the prophets were proclaiming and foretelling. He fulfills it in his person. So today, as we look to our Lord, let us ask him to help us to live his moral code, his moral precepts, the Ten Commandments, and let us pray that our society will get its head back on straight, will turn away from the foolish path that it has headed down, and somehow thinking that we can overrule God's law, that the Ten Commandments are not some kind of mental construct, but they are as solid as a rock. And you try to somehow pretend that that rock doesn't exist, that wall doesn't exist, and you run into it, you're going to find out that it does have repercussions, and it does hurt when you run into a wall, even if it's a moral one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.